This is K2PCB. K2PCB, listening for any calls.
K2PCB, this is KE2GDQ. How are you on this Wednesday morning?
Good morning, Dan Brad. So far, the Wednesday is going quite well. I'm on a time crunch again this morning. Not running behind as I was yesterday, but I do have to make a stop at the Amazon locker on the way into work today and pick something up. But I think I left early enough with enough time to accomplish that before I get there. Yeah, all in all, things are good. Let's see, so long as it doesn't rain, and I haven't even actually looked at the weather. Tonight there is a rain day performance. They had to reschedule from a couple weeks ago, this band called Backbeat 64. And our concert series. Technically the series ended last week, but this week is the makeup performance. They're a Beatles tribute band, so weather permitting, we're gonna head on out to that tonight. So yeah, things are good at work. Things are kind of good, good all over, sort of. Yeah, how's your day? How's your morning?
So far the morning's good. Slept pretty good last night. Now that it's a little cooler in the evening, I don't have to use the fan. Sleeping a little bit better, so that's good. Let's see. Don't have a lot planned for today. I'm going to go out to the club, my other club, the Alden Club, at lunch at noon because they're doing a shoot. I'll hang out there for a little bit and then go to Holland tonight. Got the lawn cut yesterday, so I'm feeling pretty good right now.
Yeah, it's nice when things are just lining up nicely with no interruptions, and you can go about your day as planned. I like those kind of days. I think I mentioned it yesterday. I put the word out to our kayaking peeps, trying to get them. Get some dates on the calendar to fill in these last so many weekends. Oh, I did pull the trigger on a purchase. I didn't buy the $200 version. I bought the sub $100 version of a Arborist throw line launcher. It didn't come with the weights. I bought a couple of those separately, but those are pretty cheap. And this is to, obviously for arborists, guys that are working in trees, to throw lines up over limbs. And I picked this up to throw lines over limbs for antenna raising. So hopefully it works out well, and I'd like to use it a handful of times in my POTA activations before field day. So I'll have to just do something to make sure that the silicone elastic straps, that silicone tubing, somehow keeps from drying out. I think...
I have heard of those arborist throwers. There's a guy that I watch, Ham Radio 2, K8MRD. He's used those to do exactly what you did. Also, Ham Radio Crash Course used them to throw a line up over a branch and then pull up an end of an antenna. So, yeah, it would be cool.
I know sometimes we struggle with getting the elevation we want with the long wires, and I'd even like to be able to easily throw up a wire to pull up an end fed or a sloper. So this should be nice. I was originally going to just buy the weights And then, because the, you know, the professional version of that launcher is quite expensive. And then I had found one that was more reasonable, and it had a trigger release and everything. I'm like, oh, this is kind of neat. It's some of the problems people complain about. And I was talking to Jeff about it, and he said, oh, that's such a good price. Why don't you just get it? I'm like, I don't know. You know, I don't know a lot about it. And so, again, reading more reviews, it seemed like it would fit the bill for me. And then I dropped the link for it in Camel to show me the price history of that. And it had dropped. So, okay, I took that as a sign, like, okay, if that is the lowest price ever, we're going to buy it now.
Well, yeah, that's good. Yeah, because you've been doing a lot of POTA. Have you been using mostly your whip for POTA, or have you been using like an NFED or a sloping vertical?
All of my POTA activations have been 100% with the vertical, and I would like to switch back and forth depending on the availability of trees. And one of the places we go to has a lot of trees. Even Knox Farm has trees. We just have to set up in a different spot in the little park there. And, yeah, I could probably put up some of the big antennas. Nothing too atrocious, but it'd be nice to have the opportunity to do that without having to try to throw my arm out to get a weight up there or do some kind of, like Ross and I, we were doing, you know, spinning the weight on the string and letting it go, and hopefully it goes where you want it to. I think the launcher will at least give it a little better trajectory.
Yeah, I think it'll give you better control over where you want to put that wire or that string. And that'll be a great benefit.
I toyed around with the idea of building my own. I toyed around with the idea of using a water balloon launcher. I guess it's kind of similar to that. I know I didn't have one. My friend Scott had one. We used to play around with that, and it required three people to use it at the time because you had no anchor points. And this, again, gives you a one-person deployment. So, yeah, I'm in.
Isn't it funny how when you get into any hobby, it's all the ancillary equipment that comes along that helps you do something a little bit better, a little bit easier, and how all that adds up pretty quickly.
And that thought did cross my mind, and I was already thinking, well, how can I justify the cost of this? Who could I loan this out to you know, make me feel more justified in making this purchase? So that being said, if there's a need that arises for you, yeah, let me know. If you're doing any tree work or you want to pull up any wire antennas, yeah, it's definitely available.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, because I've got to narrow down my antenna here pretty quick, my HF antenna, and where I want to put it. I'm leaning towards an NFED halfways. Your thoughts?
I guess similar to my planned POTA deployment here is, I guess my only question would be is, what are you going to do with the counterpoise? Because the NFED halfway is ultra convenient, it is still somewhat of a compromise. But if you're limited on space, it works out really well. People, you know, claim to have a lot of good success with it. So, it's a great question. And I don't want to steer you wrong, you know, besides just try it, experiment with it.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that pesky counterpoise. Oh, boy. Yeah, I gotta think about this. I know that's one reason for the dipole works pretty good.
There's a lot of people that'll say that the counterpoise is not necessary. But it's always necessary. It's just, how is your system creating that? Is it utilizing your coax? Is it utilizing the mount point where you have at the feed point where that's mounted? Most likely you're creating some type of counterpoise that may not look like an antenna, but is most likely there. And it just, what is your plan for that?
Yeah, you're right. Something has to act as the other half of the antenna, the return path. I remember watching a YouTube video on that antenna, the NFED halfway, and they did talk about a counterpoise. Thanks for reminding me. I got to think about how I would do that. Back to the planning stage.
For the chameleon empath, they say it can be ran without a counterpoise. But again, it's there. It's using your coax. So I'm going to pop out for less than a minute, and I'll be right back doing that pickup, as I mentioned. So I'll throw out my call sign. It's K2PCB. I'll open it up. Yeah, see if Ross is joining us.
K2PCB and KC2PT and KD2GDQ. Good morning to you, Brad. I'll wait for Travis to come back in. But good morning, everybody.
I am back in here, K2PCB.
Oh, good morning to you, Travis. How are you doing?
I am pretty good, sir. Yeah, I turned it over to you there, and maybe you're too far out. And I thought you can connect with Brad as I was making a quick stop there, and obviously you can hear I didn't put my seatbelt on yet.
Yeah, it's funny thing how that works. I can hear him, no problem. He's definitely almost full quieting in my truck, and he can't hear me for some reason.
Maybe once that new coax goes in, and or anything changes with the antenna configuration, that'll improve. With it. But wow, there's a lot of traffic here. I'm trying to turn on the Shelton, and I don't even know if I'm going to make a left-hand turn before the light turns red.
Yeah, also I have my radio up on high, and obviously you still can't hear me, but yeah, I have noticed that too lately. Was it Industrial Parkway, going the back way? Yeah, there is, it's like a traffic jam sometimes. Like, you can't get anywhere. I don't get it. Unless something, new business is opened up somewhere that we don't know about.
You know, there are some new businesses back in there, but I don't know if it would be that much to cause a traffic jam, but maybe it's more in the timing when you're coming and going. So maybe I'll ask Brad a question, because it sounds like you're still not hearing Ross there, Brad. Do you have your squelch too tight, basically not allowing you to hear Ross by chance?
It may have been. I just checked it. It did seem pretty high, and I may have inadvertently turned it up.
Something we can test out
that might be the issue.
Yeah, I picked you up that time, Ross, and you were pretty clear on that one.
Successful pickup from the Amazon locker, and I've got 644, so I'm going to, I'll turn it over to you guys and let you guys pick up from there. This is K2PCB. I'll catch up with you, Brad. 73.
73 is K2PCB. How are you this morning, Ross?
Better now. I just passed a whole herd of deer. I think there were, I counted 8. They're definitely flocking, that's for sure.
What animal did you see?
Deer. Lots of them.
Yeah, it's getting to be that time of year. They'll start gathering up. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, deer season's not that far away.
Yeah, I've been almost like 6 or 7 of them. By the time I slow down, they're going every which way. Now they're trying to get across the tracks, which I didn't know was holding them up because there's no train all around. So, I know something spooks them sometimes too, and they get all flustered.
Some of them do spook pretty easily. The one that was in our backyard a couple of times last year, she didn't spook easily. I think she was too used to being in the neighborhood, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I have a lot of them in my backyard. I don't feed them. The neighbors have a couple of crabapple trees. I'm sure that's what they're going for. They'll wander through all the everybody's backyards, and I think that's where they usually end up, is by those crabapple trees.
Yeah, that makes sense. I know that they do like apples, you know, just regular apples, so they probably eat crabapples. I mean, they've eaten our hostas. They've eaten some other plants of ours that, you know, you wouldn't think they would eat. So, as long as, well, cause I don't know if I told you, I was coming down George Urban one morning from church, and there was, I saw a deer and like three fawns in a front yard in the heart of the pew. And then I look, and there's a woman feeding them right from her porch. And I'm like, oh, my God. No wonder why they're living in the villages.
Yeah, I know a few people that have, like, salt blocks out and stuff. And I don't truly agree with that. I don't think they should be doing it. They should be letting them eat in the woods. So that's where they belong. And, it just creates more problems. Obviously, then they get hit, and then by car, and, feeding them from your, I guess, maybe towards, like, the middle of winter when it's really harsh, I guess, I don't know, it's kind of nice to do for them, but they always manage to get by. But, I don't really agree with them feeding them, you know, right in your own yard.
Exactly. I know that some of the people I shoot with are hunters, and they have, you know, camps out in the woods and stuff, or hunting spots, and they'll plant, they call them food plots, certain types of alfalfa and some other stuff for them to eat when they're out in the woods. One is it fattens them up, makes for better deer. There's even one club, Wooden Brook, they plant stuff for the deer to eat out there. But that's out. It's not in the village. So, yeah, I'm okay with that.
So where I heard Jim Higby tell me, so he said in town of Easter Rough, he says they're handing out... I think it says more permits to hunters. Don't know how they're going to hunt them, but certain areas there are a lot of hunting Easter Hour now. Just because I guess the deer population in Easter Hour is growing so much that they're all over the place. They're in Easter Hour. I guess they do some damage to certain things too, which I don't know what that could be. But yeah, they're allowing hunters to come in and hunt in certain parts of the Easter Hour where they're not allowed. And lessen the population a little bit.
I did hear about that, and I thought it was a bait and shoot that they were going to do. And I thought that it was going to be for the cops, but I was hoping that it wouldn't be, that it would be hunters, that they would be able to go in and harvest the meat and at least put the meat to good use. I've heard that.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I rather trust the hunters. I think they're a better shot than the cops are. I've seen some cops that are pretty bad shooters. And plus, I don't know, and you know, I guess it's a liability thing. You feel like somebody going in and shooting in the village. If he's drunk, but, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what even what the cops you use. 9mm may not even drop them. It just may keep running. And that stuff, you know, versus buckshot, where they definitely need to, you know, get a good kill in on them so they're not running away from you.
Yeah, most hunters go out and practice pretty regularly versus, not all, but some cops. The only time they shoot is when it's time to qualify. So they're not very good, at least from what I've read. Don't know from personal experience. I had always thought that they might allow bow hunters because they would be able to get pretty close. But then again, when you hit them with a bow, they do run, and then you got to track them. So are you going to be tracking these through people's backyards? And how would some old lady like it, deer comes in her backyard and got an arrow stuck in him and or her, and then here comes a hunter, you know, gutting it. I don't know how they or what they would do, but yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it'll be interesting with what they do. Definitely you got a point there. I don't think you want to see that. But yeah, what would the police do with it then after? I don't even know if somebody come in and take it, but whatever. All right, Brad, it's 6:54. Not Travis, the time is my time. So KD2GDQ, this is KC2PET. I will talk to you on Friday, and I'm going to talk to my supervisor today, and I'm all done with coming in early on Thursday, so not this week, this Thursday, but I think next Thursday, I'm going to switch my time back to my 7 o'clock start again. So 73s, have a good day, KC2PET.
73s to you, Ross. Have a great day. Have a great day tomorrow, and we'll talk to you on Friday. This is KE2GDQ, clear for today.